I thought it might be topical to just talk about Barack Obama. And the reason I decided to support him and endorse him and work as hard as I could for his election, I was in a unique position, Reggie. Because of where I have been and where I am now, I had the opportunity to meet both of these candidates. And that's, you know, I think an advantage when you're trying to evaluate who you think will be the best leader for our country, or continue to be the leader for our country, in the case that I chose. And there were several things that really entered my mind, because during my last 2 years as your governor, they were the first 2 years of President Obama's presidency. And because of some events, I had the opportunity to really get to know him. And the first one was a meeting in Fort Myers, Florida, and an occasion where I literally embraced our president. And what happened was, it was, I think, less than a month after he got sworn in, he was invited to come to Florida, or he wanted to come to Florida because of our foreclosure issue, and talk about the Recovery Act, the stimulus. And in the course of that, his staff was kind enough to reach out to our staff in Tallahassee and asked if I would be able to greet him and introduce him if I wanted to. And so some people on my staff came to me and said, "Governor, what do you think of that?" And I said, "What are you kidding? It's a no-brainer. He's the President of the United States of America. And he just got sworn in, and he's making one of his very first trips out of Washington to our state. That's pretty cool." And I said, "I'll be honored to be there, and I would be honored to introduce him." And so I did, and he talked about the Recovery Act, and I did literally embrace him when he came up to the podium after I said a few remarks. I don't know why he didn't hug me, but that's okay. No, just kidding. But
wait till you get done.
Yeah, okay. I'm warned. But, you know, he gave a great talk, and he talked about how important this was to help our public schools, to help firefighters, to help law enforcement officers maintain their budgets. And as your governor, I can tell you that early in 2009, right after the collapse of the fall of 2008, we were looking at a budget with a hole in it you could not believe. And I remember meeting with our people in Tallahassee in our budget department and expressing my concern about how we were going to get through this. And they said, "Well, Governor, you know, the new president has a plan." And I said, "Well, tell me about it. I hadn't heard much about it." And they said, "Well, it's called the Recovery Act, and it would directly support states and with significant sums to try to make sure we don't go off the economic cliff." And I said, that's like a godsend. And I said, you know, when it asked me to introduce him, it was easy to make that decision because of that background that I had and knowledge that I had. And so it passed. And there was one guy who was thinking about how do we help states around the country that are in a difficult situation because of a difficult economy and the worst economic situation we'd had since the Great Depression. And his name was Barack Obama. And I met him, and we had a chance to chat a little bit, you know, after the event was over. And he couldn't have been more gracious, more kind. And at the time, I was a Republican. You talk about a guy reaching across the aisle, he didn't care. He didn't care what my party was. He didn't care what I looked like. He didn't care where I came from, which he talks about all the time. All he cared about was that there were people who needed help. And a lot of them were our fellow Floridians. And so he came here first in order to talk about this Recovery Act. And so, you know, I got to know him, and I was getting to know him more and more. And I remember later, I went to a meeting in Washington, the National Governors Association. And always during that meeting, the White House hosts a dinner for the governors from around the country and their spouse. And so this dinner was being held at the White House, and my wife Carol and I went, because that's a pretty nice thing to be invited to the White House. It doesn't happen every day. And when we get there, they give you a little card that tells you what table you're sitting at. And it was table number 11. I'll never forget it. And Carol was asking me, "Charlie, where do you think it is?" I said, "Sweetheart, I don't know. We'll find out when we get in the room." And it was not the East Room, but I guess the West Room. It looks just like the East Room, but it's just on the other side.
I mean, it's beautiful. It's just an amazing place. It takes your breath away. And so we walked into the room and we asked the young lady, you know, where is table 11? She said, well, you're right over there in the front. I said, okay. And so we started walking toward the table, and the closer we got, we came to realize that's where the president was sitting. And then they have you seated at a particular seat at the table. You know, they have a little name card. And my wife was seated next to the president, and I was seated on the other side of my wife. And I am convinced to this day that the reason that happened is because I embraced him and his policy at Fort Myers shortly before that happened. Well, that's not the end of the story. The next day, there was a meeting of all the governors with the president, again in this same room. And, you know, different governors and colleagues of mine from around the country were saying things to the president and expressing their concerns about our economy and how difficult it was and why maybe this wasn't a good idea to try to use significant sums of money from the federal government to help us out. And I couldn't take it anymore. And finally, at the end of it, I stood up and, you know, I usually stay kind of quiet at these things, but sometimes you're called. And I stood up and I said, Mr. President, I want to tell you, you've heard from some of my fellow Republican colleagues tonight, and I respect them, and they have the right to say whatever they want. This is America, after all. I said, but I have to tell you, I have caught more grief from my party for simply being decent to the President of the United States of America, and I'm sick of it. It's not right. It's not fair. See, I'm not a journalist, so I can go out there. Okay? I just want you to know that my mother and father, you know them, Reggie.
Oh, yeah.
My mother and father raised me and my three sisters to treat others with respect and to be decent to one another and to do unto others, especially when that other happens to be the President of the United States of America. And so what I was seeing from my former party confused me and troubled me. Because it wasn't what America is supposed to be about. It just wasn't what human decency is supposed to be about. The next time I had a significant encounter with our great president was when we had that horrible BP spill. The worst environmental disaster in the history of our country. Well, guess who came here to save Florida again? President Barack Obama. I mean, right away. And was here, you know, day after day, just like he's been with the hurricane up in the Northeast. By the way, that governor is named Christie, not Crist, but he is also a Republican, like I used to be. And again, you saw the truth and the reality of the president. No matter where you're from, what you look like, or what letter is behind your name, he does the right thing because it's the right thing to do. And so he went up and he helped out that state, New Jersey and New York and all the others that were affected. And I think the people of our country saw that. Just a week before the election. And you know the results of the election. So that's why, and I thought that might be pertinent or relevant to share. Because he is that good. And I was with a reporter friend this morning. He said, what would you tell people that they may not know about the president? And I said, what they may not know is just how good a guy he really is. Because it's kind of hard to believe that somebody's that good and that decent and really cares that much. But it's the real deal. He's the real deal. And so sharing that with you, I think, is important. I know you have to be independent, objective in your reporting, and you are. But I just want you to know from my heart and my soul, I've looked into the soul of this man. And what I have seen is a man who is deserving of all our prayers and all of our support. And your role is huge. How many of you are journalists? Please raise your hand if you're a journalist. You are public servants too. You have a public service duty to report the news accurately, fairly, independently, honestly, and with grace. That's an important word, and I choose it not by accident. Because you have, I hate to use this word, but it's true, you have power in what you do in your life. And for whatever reason, you found your way to that place and that station. And somebody along the way helped you get there. Who knows who, but you're where you are and you're blessed. And so you have to use, those who are given much to those who have much, much is expected, right? And so, and I know you'd use it wisely, but be focused on how important that really is and how much influence you have and the difference you will make in people's lives about whatever issue it is that you're talking about. And finally, let me finish. I probably have gone too long and I apologize, but I'm passionate about this stuff. I do have an early flight tomorrow. I'm going to Chicago. But at any rate, this voting rights thing and what happened in Florida. Number one, I'm proud Florida voted for the president. I am not proud that it took Florida as long as it did to get the results. And it wasn't our fellow Floridians' fault. People who have policy-making authority in our state, I believe, created this problem. They passed a law that reduced voting, early voting days from what had been 14 down to 8. You know this as well as I do. They reduced the number of places people could vote. They made it more difficult to vote. Even if you voted by absentee ballot, it was more difficult. We live in a democracy. We should encourage people to exercise their democratic right to vote, not discourage them. And I was in Miami Gardens during early voting, and the lines during early voting were 4 or 5 hour waits. Then I went to Aventura the same afternoon, and the same thing, you know, maybe 3 or 4 hour wait to early vote. Well, you know, people all over the country and all over the state got to see that on TV and had the opportunity to do something about it. Like what I did in 08, I signed an executive order to extend the voting opportunity and the voting hours for our citizens. Why? Because, you know, then I work for you. You're the boss. And if the boss is having a hard time, you try and help the boss. You know, no matter what party they belong to, no matter what part of the state they're from, when I got elected governor, I wasn't governor of the Republicans of Florida. I was governor of the people of Florida. All of them. And you have a duty. In fact, you take an oath to exercise that duty to the best of your ability. So help you God. Well, when you make it hard for people to vote, whether, no matter what branch you're in, legislative, administrative, it doesn't matter, that's not fair. And that's not right. I'm a guy, Reggie will tell you, who doesn't get angry. I really don't. I'm a pretty easygoing fellow. But, you know, two things bring me close to anger. And it is arrogance and unfairness. And with this issue, we saw the merger of both. And that's just not right, and it should not stand, and I know that it won't. And we'll get this right. You know, and I'm so proud of our fellow Floridians for their determination. What I first saw when they had trouble in early voting was frustration. Well, that frustration on election day became infuriated. And you know how it is when somebody tells you you can't do something? You're like, oh yeah? What are you, my father? Well, no, they weren't. And it's not their place to tell you what you cannot do or to make hard for you to exercise. Your voting rights are a civil right. They really are. And, you know, I just can't, it's unconscionable to me that somebody would stand in the door of the voting booth of the people of Florida. That's not where we are. It's not where we should be. And we should go forward and not backward. Always, particularly when exercising what your right is. Let me finish on a lighter note. I'm going to Chicago tomorrow because I'm going to a football game. And I need your help. When I was a much younger man, I played a little bit of college football. Don't be impressed by that. I was a mere walk-on. But I got lucky enough to make the team at Wake Forest University. And on Saturday, they are playing Notre Dame. Ooh. You're familiar with Notre Dame. Undefeated Notre Dame. So Notre Dame's favored by about 25 points, which they probably should be. But, you know, hope springs eternal. I'm an optimist, and things can happen. But, again, I just want to thank you for what you do. I want to thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. And I want to thank you for excusing me to leave early so I can make that early plane and maybe see Wake Forest in an upset Saturday. God bless you. God bless Florida. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you very much.